Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We're blessed and so thankful that you have chosen to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior, with us here this morning. As we open up this time of praise and worship, would you please stand and bow your heads and your hearts, and may we open up with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this privilege, this opportunity, this honor that you have bestowed upon all of us. The honor of gathering together to sing praises unto your holy name. The honor of exalting your goodness. The honor of worshiping you, Jesus. The King of kings, the Lord of lords, the eternal I am. We bless you for who you are. For you and you alone are worthy. We thank you, O Christ. We invite you into our presence here this morning. We ask that your Holy Spirit would quicken our hearts and open our minds and impact our lives that we might truly reflect your love to those we come across each day. We love you, Jesus. We commit this time of praise and worship into your care, and we pray this in the mighty name of the risen Savior Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, God is looking out for you. Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for what you've done in our lives. We do thank you for allowing us to be ready to go, Lord. If there's anything we've carried with us or any fears we have, Lord, allow us to give that to you. We can overcome the giants in our lives, Lord. After all, you did set us free, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we come before you and we do thank you for setting us free, Father. There isn't anything you won't do for us. Allow us to give everything to you. Allow us not to be pushed around by this world, but know that we have you looking out for us, Lord. After all, you gave everything for us, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. We bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for giving us that love that you give to us every single day, and the love that you gave your life for us, Lord, that we should not have to fear, we should not have to worry, we should always put stuff to you, everything we carry with us. Lord, after all, you do look out for us. You do hold our right hand, and you are there for us. So allow us to have that faith and be able to step out and read your word, Lord, and know that you're with us. Lord, we ask a special blessing over this church, over those that are here and those that could not be here, the pastor and everything that we have going on, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and we ask that you be with us. In all things, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. As we continue this time of praise and worship, I just want to highlight a couple brief announcements. And this one is not on the back of your bulletin, but I'm going to turn to Mike. Mike, if you have an announcement, please, why don't you share?
And I appreciate that, Pastor. What's been on our heart and what we actually have a need for is if there's anybody that really would like to step out, would like to step out and maybe do something that for the Lord, or maybe something that they would like to learn, because what we're looking for is someone to help us with PowerPoint. We have some great volunteers that do that, but we can always use another helping hand. So if you have skills in that area, or you would like to learn how to do that, please come and see us, come see me, come see Stephanie, any of us here. We'd love to get you involved in that, because we could always use your help. Plus, you're doing it for the Lord, and that's the most important thing. So if you have the skills and you would like to do that, or if you'd like to learn, and this is the opportunity that we could teach you how to do PowerPoint, I think you would find it very challenging and a lot of fun. So we thank you. If you are interested, please come see us.
Yep. Talk with Mike if you're interested in being part of the worship team as part of the PowerPoint team. So, and at this time, I'm going to ask Rachel to come forward, and she wants to share about Vacation Bible School here this morning.
I hope you guys aren't getting sick of me yet, because we still have a few more weeks. I know that people always have an addiction. You know, some people are addicted to sleep, some people are addicted to smoking, some people are, you know, there's always an addiction. Well, there is an awesome addiction that I know that a lot of VBS leaders have, and that is VBS. I am actually amazed at how many people are willing to take a week off of work or take a week out of their own lives and be a part of it. It's just, once you do it once, it's like, oh, I need to come back. So actually, I had asked Mary, there she is, if Mary would come up and share why God calls her to take a whole week of her vacation and spend it with us at Vacation Bible School.
I was thinking about what I was going to say, and I just have to say that my flesh, every year, the devil starts whispering to me, you know, you're getting older, you're tired, and there's somebody who could do this a lot better than you could. And I do listen to it for a while, and then I don't know, he brings things along that kind of get my mind back to where it should be, and part of that is my grandchildren, and I have one that's old enough now and potty trained that she can come this year. I'm so excited. And she's actually going to a Christian preschool, and she says prayer. She likes to say grace. She wants to say grace. And I think about these people who teach these children to know the Lord and to speak to him. You know, it just, you know, I've got to be a part of that. It's so important. I don't want to cry. And, you know, we know how the world's going. It's tough. And it's getting tougher. It's going to be tough for those younger ones. They need to know the truth. They need to hear his word. They need to get it into their hearts. And when you see them singing those songs, they are so just glory to God through those songs, and they learn them, and it's a part of them, and nobody, the enemy cannot steal that away from them. So that's why I do it, to get that word, that truth into their hearts at this young age, when there's nothing stopping it, you know, their logic and all our preconceived things that we get as an adult. That's why I do it, and it just, honestly, I am so filled. It fills me too. It fills me with faith and love of the Lord too. So, thank you, Mary.
And everyone at VBS, I mean, is impacted, and it's just amazing. I asked Nick if he would share why at the ripe age of, what are you, 22?
23.
Making him younger than he is. Why he wants to spend a week with us, because, you know, to hear of a 23-year-old doing that's crazy.
Yeah, I'm a young guy, I guess. You know, there are a few things I look at. I could say I do it for experience. I mean, this is my career path. It's not a career. This is my life path. I could say I have an obligation because I'm part of this church. I've always been in this church. I was attended VBS when I was little. So, But no, there's more to it than that. I had the opportunity to teach I believe it was 6th through 8th or 5th through 8th. Some of them are sitting right here. I had the opportunity to teach, and it's so just gratifying to see their eyes open when they hear the truth, when they hear the word, and to see the success that I had. I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I think we started with like 10 or 12 kids in the first class, and by the end of it, had over 20 by Friday, which I was told really never happened. Usually in their older classes, they see a decrease throughout the week. I had an increase. And to me, it's not tooting my own horn. It's affirming for me that this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and working with kids, teaching the word. So it's a joy. Mm. It's a vacation for me because I look forward to it. So I miss out on work, but I'd rather be here.
Amen. Amen.
Rachel, so we've heard from Mary, we've heard from Nick, and what are the needs? What do we need here? And, you know, VBS is coming up the second week in June. What are the needs?
We need, I'm going to say, probably at least 15 more volunteers. It's not impossible. We still have 5 weeks left. Last year, I will tell you, I don't want to cry either. Last year, the first day of VBS, I was like, okay, God, it's all in your hands, because I was down by 3 to 5 volunteers. I had no idea what I was going to do. And I just said, okay, God, you have a plan. You want this to happen. And when I came and showed up, there were people that were here that I had no idea were going to be here. They showed up and they were like, hey, put me to work. What do you want from me? It was amazing. So we're about 15 more volunteers. And there will be next week. Look in the bulletin. There's going to be some VBS needs. So you guys will have an opportunity to share something from your home, possibly. So those are the main needs right now.
Okay. And if somebody doesn't have the luxury to get off work or something else, how can they cover this ministry, and what can they do?
Truly pray. We are really starting to get bigger numbers with Vacation Bible School. It's done nothing but grown for the past couple of years. And it's not all about the numbers, but I'll tell you what, when you come in here on Monday and you see this room filled with kids, you know that you're giving them some God that they might not be getting at home. So just pray. Pray for success and pray for, you know, hearts to be open.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Rachel. So there are need for volunteers, and we definitely would covet your prayers to cover this ministry. I think about the baptismal covenant every time we baptize an infant here. And if you recall, if you've ever been a part of one of those services, we all stand. And part of that is do you promise to uphold your Christian faith and live it out before this young life and to do everything in your means to afford the proper facilities and the proper Christian education? Do you promise? And I think about that. It is our responsibility, friends. It's our responsibility to share our faith with the next generation. And so the ways you can be involved are you can sign up, see Rachel, or you can pray. Please pray. And then this after worship today, If you have signed up, please make note that the Christian child safety training will be held at 12 noon here in the sanctuary, and that's another way that we can do our part to make sure it's a safe environment here this morning. As many of you noticed, you received a letter in the mail this week. If some of you may have not, I assure you, if you did, it's on its way. And the letter basically was announcing that it's the intention of Bishop Palmer and our district superintendent, Scott Oakey's intent, me, to be pastor over not only Trinity, but also Faith United Methodist Church right down the road. And so to address some of this, Charlene, if you would come forth and share with us what's happening next Sunday morning.
Okay. Thank you. How many people like change? You? I say that change for most of us can be, we can be very anxious, we can get very excited. So it can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing, it can be an unsure thing. But what I guarantee you is that every one of us are in this together. So I would like, I know a lot of us aren't hand people, but I would challenge you to grab the person's hand right beside you. And the ones that aren't close, you don't have to do it. There you go. All right, I would challenge you all to raise your hand right now. Mm. Awesome, awesome job. Okay, I want you to look around. No, keep raising your hand until I say down. I want you to look around this room. You see all these hands that are joined. This is what Trinity is about. Mm. And if we go through, you can put your hands down. When we go through something that's challenging, we're in it together. We are a family and we are in it together. Amen. So this might be challenging. And next Sunday at 9 o'clock, we'll have a question answer session for you. We'll know answers, and you can come, and we'll do our best to answer them.
Is that at 9 or 9:30? The bulletin says 9:30.
Well, the bulletin's right. It's 9:30. I'm wrong.
Thank you.
But I do want to read a Bible scripture. When in prayer, I was thinking about this. I went to Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So we're all in prayer. We're praying for Pastor Max.
Amen.
We're praying for Trinity, and we're praying for Faith. So thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Charlene. Children's Church is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fourth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. And may we turn our attention to the reading of God's Word here this morning.
Our reading today is on page 446. It's out of 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 23 through 33. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give him great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servants will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting man from his youth." This is the reading of the word of God for the people of God. May the ushers come forward for the offering.
Blessings you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we've placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Years ago, there was this young boy, and he was in second grade, and he would go to school, and he would line up for lunch. And what they would do is they would line up the fourth graders on one side and the second graders on the other side, and then they would file into the lunchroom, and however the children, the youth, second graders or fourth graders, would end up at the table, they would sit. Most oftentimes, it was the fourth graders on one side of the table and the second graders on the other side of the table, and there was this fourth grader, and he was the bully. His name was Tony. And what he would do is he would not only take the younger kids' hat on the playground, but he would wrap his feet around the bottom of the chairs, the folding chairs, and he would pull the second graders into the table, and it would scare them. Years ago, that was me. I'll never forget, we pulled into the garage one night, and my mom, I think Dad was there, and my two sisters, and I just broke down in tears. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go back. How am I going to face this giant, this bully named Tony? And I thought, if I could only be bigger, if I could only be stronger, then he wouldn't pick on me. But it wasn't just me, friends. It was everybody. Anybody that was younger than him, he would pick on. I thought, if I would just become older, then the bullying would stop. And I'm here to tell you, it doesn't stop. Because when I began to sell insurance and started my agency, I found that other agents who had been in the business longer, they would try to seek to put me in a bad position. What I mean by that is I mailed out a mass mailing of flyers, and lo and behold, I'm picking up the phone, and it's my district manager. Max, did you mail a flyer to one of Betsy's clients? Well, no. So then he shows up at my door, and lo and behold, that he shows me the flyer with the envelope, and all I did was a mass mailing. I wasn't, you know, marketing to her clients. And so I thought, okay, if I only establish myself in the insurance industry, this will stop, this will cease. Little did I know, after about 12 to 14 years in the insurance industry, I get another district manager, and he comes in, and he tries to get rid of me. Yeah. Now, I was an independent contractor, and they couldn't fire me unless I broke a law, unless I, you know, did something horrible, meaning they were not my boss. And yet he put me through a program where I had to inspect all of my houses. Now, that's fine and dandy if you got one house, but when you have several hundred houses, okay, now you're talking about a little bit of time, a little bit of money, a little bit of effort. Bullied. Sometimes we hear about being bullied and we think it's an elementary problem. We think it's a Hilfiker problem. It's a person problem, friends. It's a heart problem. Last week we looked at how David saw that God's will was for him. And if you've got your Bibles, I hope that you brought them. And if you don't, please turn to me because I want to point out one verse to you. And it's on page 445 of your pew Bibles. Verse 19 at the top of the left-hand column. Now, you could read this on your own time, but Saul, you know, he was being tormented and he needed to be soothed. And so he sends his messengers or his people in the king's court to go find somebody who could play music for him because he was having an issue. Now, last week we saw that David, he was out in the sheep. And I don't know about you, but, you know, if your dad forgets you, isn't that an issue? Jesse brings the other brothers in. And Samuel has to look at Jesse and say, hey, is this all your sons? Oh, no, oh, yikes, there's one other one, and he's out tending sheep, as if Jesse forgot. And so right here in verse 19, when Saul begins to have these issues, because the Spirit in antiquity or in the ancient Bible days, the Spirit of God, it dwelt on the kings, the prophets, and the priests. Only those three people. And so when God anointed David to be the future king of Israel, he removed his spirit from Saul. Now we in our day, because Jesus sent the counselor, the advocate, the helper, i.e. the Holy Spirit, and the scriptures attest that when we place our faith in Jesus, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So please don't go out of here and have a fear of, oh boy, what if God removes his spirit from me? Because that, my friends, will never happen, because the Holy Spirit in your heart and soul is the seal for later redemption. It's what God will use when you and I pass on or Jesus returns to recognize, to identify who is his children. But notice where David was at. So Saul's being tormented. He needs this. Now you think of this, and you think King Saul, and then you think David. Follow along in verse 19 of chapter 16 of the book of 1 Samuel. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. This is the king of Israel.
the future king of Israel. He doesn't stop. He doesn't bat an eye. He goes right back out to where he was at. He goes back out in humility and says, this is my responsibility. This is what God has called me to. It doesn't matter that I have been anointed king because it's God's timeline and not mine. And so he goes back out in humility in submitting to God the Father. You see, we only got a couple minutes. We're going to meet around the Lord's table here. So I want to get right to the how. How do we overcome the giants? How do we overcome the bullies in our life? When Doug, my district manager, he was trying to get rid of me, and he put me through all the rigors, I quietly, and I'll never forget, one day, I got up from his office, and I looked at him, and I said, Doug, I'm leaving. He says, we're not done yet. I said, we're done, because if I stay here, I'm going to say something I'm going to be later sorry for. I went back to my office. I submitted to him. I listened to what he was requesting of me. You see, the problem in our society, in our world, is this, is that we want things right now. We want it before we are ready, because David, he was trained by the Almighty God in the wilderness. You see, we want the popularity. We want to stand up front. We want to have everybody look at us and say, oh, this is the accolades of what we are. Look at what we're doing. And in all reality, God says, hey, you know what? I need to equip you to be ready for what you are going to deal with in the future. And so David, the future king of Israel, he's tending sheep. Now imagine this picture, Saul, who's in need of David. Saul, at this time, probably heard about David being anointed king. Think there was tension in that king's court? Oh. So David, he would pack up his things, and Saul would get soothed, and once he got soothed, he would leave and go back to the sheep again. Yeep. Imagine that. And this didn't happen once. It happened several times. And he keeps getting requested. Come on, David, come on back. Oh, yikes. The last church that I was at, the senior pastor, there were issues between he and I. Not on my part. On his part. I had no qualms with him. But because I went in there and God started moving and God started bringing growth and all these different things, it became very apparent that it was almost an affront or an offense to him. And so I quietly went about what I was doing. And at every elders meeting, things would be brought up. You see, if I didn't have to deal with Tony Taylor, and yes, that's his real name, and I'll share with you what God did with that whole situation in a moment. If I didn't have to deal with Tony Taylor, if I didn't have to deal with Doug, you know, my district manager, then I would have never known how to deal within God's family, friends. And it happens in God's family. Yes, it does. I would have never known how to deal with Bill. But yet we want to run. We want to run. We want to run. We want to get to be the king. We want to experience God's will, his desire for us. And we don't want to tend the sheep. You see, in humility, in obscurity, in solidarity, this is the how you will overcome your giants. If you submit to what God has for you, you will begin to cultivate and forge a strength, a confidence in God, not in your own abilities. There was about a year's period of time when I was selling insurance that I thought I was going to be outed. And you want to know why I knew? Because I watched other agents all around me fall, and they would be outed. Agents that had 25 years of experience of selling for the company that I represented. Agents that had far more years than I did. And I kept going back to my office, bowing my head in prayer and seeking the Lord. You think David went to the wilderness and just sat around? No, he went to the wilderness and he said, Lord, I'm here. I don't understand it. You anoint me, but now I'm doing this. It's only going to get more extreme for David. At some point, Saul's going to get upset and he's going to persecute David and chase him around the countryside and try to kill him. Bullying. But if we're not willing to humbly submit to God in total obscurity, in total solidarity, then friends, I'm here to tell you, we aren't willing to be used by God. Because the scriptures tell us that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You see, it's God in his forming ground in how he prepares you and me. We want the titles. We don't want to deal with the training. So David, he is tending sheep, and then he hears about this battle, and you have to realize that David's brothers are out there seeking the accolades of military achievement. You have to understand that. And so David, he goes and he seeks to, you know, find out how his brothers are. And so he comes across this situation. The Philistine, a giant, some 9 foot odd person who was wearing some 200 plus pounds of armor, who had a javelin between his shoulders. And not only that, but he had a shield bearer that would have been the height of a full-blown man in front of him. And in front of that shield bearer, he had another shield bearer. And so for 40 days and 40 nights, he was coming out and he was taunting the Israelites. And now in that valley, you have to understand that there was a stream at the very base of it. And on one side, it went up about a half a mile gradual slope. And then on the other side, it went up a full mile. And so basically what David was encountering was a situation where Goliath, in antiquity or the ancient Bible days, what they would do is they would do essentially a winner-take-all fight. And so Goliath would step out for 40 days, 40 nights with his shield bearer, with his armor bearer in front of him, and he's carrying this ginormous chainmail helmet. Elements on his legs, and he's taunting the Israelites. He's saying, hey, if you can defeat me, then we will become your slaves. But if you can send someone to defeat, if I defeat them, then you will become our slaves. The interesting thing is this. If you turn over in your Bible, you will see there's a change in what Goliath's tactics were when David arrives on the scene. In verse 41, meanwhile, the Philistine, Goliath, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. A more accurate rendering is he came up to David. Now, if you read before, you will see that he is coming out. So if you think of the valley, all of a sudden, this arrogance, this pride that Goliath had, he wasn't stopping there anymore. He was saying, hey, here I am. I'm going to come right out to you. Yikes. That's a situation that David encounters. Being bullied. Prior to that, we're going to see the humility that David had. We're going to see the obscurity that he experienced in tending flock. We're going to see the solidarity that he had. When you have nothing but God, friends, there's something that's forged in you, a resolve, a belief. And so when he gets on the scene, he approaches the giant of not being believed. I just want to cover these four real quick. When the words which David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul. Now this is the king of Israel. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, meaning Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. At this time, David's probably 16 or 18 years old. Ugh. And Goliath has been a man of war from his youth. Not only did King Saul not believe David, but his brothers didn't believe David either. If you remember in the previously in the text, Eliab, his oldest brother, who was of great stature when Samuel was there, he thought in his heart, surely this is who God's anointing, because he's of tall stature. You see, Saul was tall and good looking, and he was what everyone was looking for in a king. And so David, because of the humility, the obscurity, the solidarity, and his belief in God, because he saw God time and time and time again, he said, look, it's not about me, Saul. And he did not say this, but he, in his mind, in his heart, in his soul, he's saying, it's not about me. It's about God. But you see, these giants, they start coming, and they don't stop. You and I, we got to kill them. If we don't kill them, they'll overtake our lives. Just like Goliath was coming at David, he was beginning to come up the other side. How do you do that? You humbly submit to God. You're willing to go through the solidarity of being alone with God. If you have to have noise or have to have action, then it speaks to an insecurity in your soul. You have to be alone with God. You have to understand that sometimes God will take us through the obscure or the not known before he leads us to victory. The second thing is the giant of fear. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion, obscurity, solidarity, a lion, tiger, bear, oh my, you know. I think about this, and I've got a little dog, and I'm here to tell you, sometimes he'll show his teeth. I think about David, a 16-year-old boy, and he's out in the wilderness, and all of a sudden a bear comes up, and it's just him and God. You think a 20-pound dog can snarl at you? About a couple hundred pound bear. What about a lion? And he doesn't say that I cowered behind the tree. He says, no, I went after him and smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth, and if it arose against me, I caught him by his beard. Oh, that's up close and personal engagement. And I smote him and killed him. Your servant has killed both lions and bears. The giant of fear. You see, it's in those times. Now, my parents could have said to me when I was in second grade, that's okay. That's okay, Max. You don't have to go to school. You know what they did? You're going to school. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. You helped me out there. They did. They helped me out. Because at that point in my life, Tony, he was a lion to me. He was a bear to me. He was that giant that was trying to overtake me. Doug, my district manager, the same thing. I can tell you time and time and time again, if you don't kill those giants, if you don't allow God to train you up in humility, in solidarity, in obscurity, or not being known, then the future giants will overtake you. And this is the giant of fear. You see, when David was presented with all these fears, again, he said, I've been there. I know what this looks like. I don't need to worry about how I'm going to handle this. I understand God has forged in me. He's forged in me the confidence, the strength. I mean, think about it. A lion and a bear. I wonder if Goliath could take a lion and a bear. I don't know. The third giant that David experienced was a giant of intimidation. We're going to skip right over this because the Philistine, Goliath, he was intimidating David and trying to not believe what God had called him to do. You see, it's a giant of intimidation. It's intimidating to not believe. I don't know what your giants are here this morning. You may have a giant of a fear of the unknown. You might have a giant of intimidation that is coming through another Christians today. And yes, it happens. Of saying, you know what, this will never come to pass. This will never happen. You might as well just forget it and give up and go on home. The giant of intimidation is really a doubt. It's sowing that seed of doubt in your soul to question what God's will is. We're not going to look here, but I encourage you in your own time to look at the text. And David always defers to God. The Lord thy God will deliver you into my hands today is what David says. And he wants to do that for you and for me. He wants to deliver these giants into our hand. The fourth giant is giant faith. And David said to the Philistine, which is Goliath, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You see, the giants we face aren't our battles. These are God's. They're God's battles. Now I'm going to give you a postscript here. Humility, obscurity, meaning not being known. You all didn't know me. I didn't know you. I was obscure to you. I was not aware Gibsonburg was even a place. Solidarity. My district manager's trying to get rid of me. You think I could turn to somebody in the company? Ha! He represented them. All out on your own. Humility. Giving it back to God. You know what David does? After he kills Goliath, he takes his armor. And you know where he takes it and puts it? Check me on this. Check me on it. He takes it into his tent. And he puts it in his tent. 200 pounds of armor. And you can even check me on the text. Saul at one point put his armor on David, and David's like, forget this, you know. This is too heavy. I'm too small of a guy. And yet he kills Goliath, and he takes his armor into his tent. You want to know why he does that? I'm going to tell you why he does that, and this is where many Christians fail. It's the same reason why the Israelites back in the day, where they would set up these monuments, they would set up these altars, they would set up these memorials, and God commanded them and said, look, when your children get old enough, you can look to them and you can say, this is when God did this. I wonder if David didn't take his armor from Goliath and take it to his tent so that he had a visual reminder of what God did. I wonder if when he's in the wilderness, if he kills a bear and a tiger or a lion or whatever, if he doesn't take a tooth out. See, we need reminders. We need reminders of what God has done. We need reminders. That's why we heard from Mary and from Nick this morning. We need reminders of what God has done. We need reminders of what God is doing. And when we have that visual reminder of what God has done, then the next time that we face these giants, we're not going to cower in fear. We're not going to be affected by intimidation. We are not going to be worried about not being believed, because we're going to turn as David did and said, he might even had a necklace on, friends. Kind of like the crocodile people do, you know, take the crocodile teeth and they put them on a necklace. Maybe his necklace was full of teeth of lions and tigers. Bears are, I get all those confused. That crazy movie mixes me up. Understand humility, obscurity, and solidarity. If you're willing, God will defeat your giants. This morning, we're going to meet around the Lord's table, and we're going to participate in the bread and the cup. Now, no matter what your giant is, many of these things are the same way. The giant of not being believed, you know, as Mary testified, she said, you know what, the enemy speaks into our ear. You can't do this. You can't do that. Nobody is going to listen to you. Yes, you can, friends. Yes, you can. God wants you to. The giant of being intimidated. Sometimes intimidation comes from other believers and non-believers. Oh, what are you going to do? Now you have all this on your plate. You know what? God has a plan. God is good. And the giant of fear. Take those memorials. Remember them. Look to them. And may the slaying of your giants begin today in recognizing that Jesus slayed the biggest giant that you and I could have ever had, the giant of sin and the giant of death. Jesus slayed that giant. You and I can walk in that victory today. And so as we meet around the Lord's table, may we recognize that we all have giants. There's always something in life that's trying to bully us. Are we going to give in?
are we going to say, Jesus, this battle is yours. I give it to you. And by coming forward this morning, you are making that proclamation, visible proclamation, that it's your desire, your choice to give the battle that you're in this morning. You see, friends, I don't believe that any Christian has the quote-unquote life that they don't have struggles. It's the level of our struggles. We all have struggles. May you begin by meeting around the Lord's table and giving those giants to Jesus this day. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, merciful Savior. We thank you, loving Christ. We thank you for slaying the giant of sin and death, and because of that, we can live. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love. Lord, we understand that, you know, sometimes things aren't the way they want, but may we not give in to the giant of not being believed or being intimidated or the giant of fear. May we stand on your promises. May we believe in your Holy Spirit. May we trust you, O Lord. Thank you this morning for the bread and for the cup. We pray that you would bless them, honor them. We bless you, O Christ. Be with us as we meet around your holy table. That allows us to remember you slay the giants that we could not. We praise you and honor you. In the holy name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then likewise, Jesus then took the cup and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the sins of many. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me. As the Spirit of God leads, may we all come down the center aisle. You'll be given a piece of bread and you'll take that bread and dip it in the juice and you will partake together with the bread and the cup. And then after you have received the elements, you can depart from either your left and my right or your right and my left. But may we all meet around the table of the Lord Jesus Christ.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an I
as we close this morning. May the God of all peace, may he bless you and keep you. May he find you turning to him in your time of facing the giants in your life. As you and I depart, may the God of peace fill your soul and his love adorn your very being. May he bless you with his peace and truth. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen.